Okay, Rabotai, Erev Tov, Shavua Tov. Let us finish up this series, which we called Sfaradim Navigating in an Ashkenazi World and Vice Versa. I don't know how much we're going to focus on the vice versa, but at least let's try to focus and finish up this discussion. We've discussed, a nice amount of things. Last thing we spoke about Tefillin and Tefillah. Another thing that I forgot to mention about Tefillah, not forgot, but I didn't get around to it, is there's another very interesting machloket between the Igrot Moshe and the Yechaveh Da'at. Agon Moshe Feinstein, Igrot Moshe, writes that anything that has to do with the Tzibur, even if a person has a different nosach, he is nigrar, a person is pulled after the Tzibur and he is chayav to say ke nosach HaTzibur. For instance, that there are different noschaot of Kedusha, whether you daven nosach Ashkenaz or Sfarad, whereas Sfarad and Sfaradim will say Nakdishach v'Na'aritzach, nosach Ashkenaz doesn't say that. Nosach Ashkenaz says Nekadesh Hashemcha Ba'olam. So which one? So Rav Moshe holds that if you're Sfaradi, or forget about Sfaradi, even a nosach Sfarad, Ashkenaz guy, davening in an Ashkenaz minyan, in a nosach Ashkenaz minyan, you are chayav. He's not even going into because of Lotit Godudu, but because it's a davar shel kedusha, and you're obligated to say it like them. He says you have to say nekadesh. Maran Zichron Berachah in Yechaveh Da'at vehemently disagrees with Rav Moshe, and he says for several reasons. First of all, he says it has nothing to do with Lotit Godudu, as we spoke about last time. How come this has nothing to do with Lotit Godudu? Minhagim, as opposed to Piskedin. That's number one. Number two, he says it's not a davar shel kedusha. Why? Because the ikar of the kedusha, you see several places in the halacha, ikar kedusha is kadosh uvaruch. The first pasuk of kadosh kadosh, the second pasuk of baruch kevod Hashem, even yimloch is, to a certain extent in halacha, not considered dvarim shel kedusha. Give me a raya. What's the proof to that? Yafe meod, that if a person is caught at the end of his amidah, but now if you're caught by kedusha anywhere within the amidah, what's the halacha? You don't answer. Why? You're in the middle of Amidah, it says, Efsek, Shomei Akaone, just listen. What happens if you're caught by Kedusha when you're in Elohai Netzel? Yes. Now this is very interesting. I want to go off on a slight tangent because this happens a lot. It happens if a person's a little bit Ma'arich B'Tfilato or a person starts a little bit later. It can happen very often that a person is in the middle of Elohai Netzel towards the end of the Amidah and is caught by a Kedusha. So Din HaShulchan Aruch is that if a person's Ma'arich B'Tachanunim at the end of the Tfilah, is that the tachanunim that we always say, a.k.a. Elohai Netzor, those are tachanunim that got appendaged to the tefillah. Therefore, what's the halacha? What are you allowed to answer then? Kadosh and Baruch, zeo. No nakdishach, no imloch, no le'omatam, none of that. Only the psukim of Kadosh uVaruch. Also, anything you'd be able to answer in the middle of Kriyat Shema uVirchoteha, you're also allowed to answer within Elohai Netzor. Dehainu, what's that?
First five
amenim of Kaddish, Adam Iran Be'alma, Barechu, and Vechule. Now, here's the clincher. This is all until what point of the Amidah? Until the second Yule Ratzon. Once you say the second Yule Ratzon, it's as if the Amidah is over, even if you didn't take it three steps back, whatever it is, you're allowed to answer everything, like Dishach, Baruch Baruch Shemo, whatever you want. Agon Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu brings an Aitzah that's actually quoted before him in Shelot Utshuvot Yaskil Avdi. Anybody ever heard of the Yaskil Avdi? One of the great Poskei Sfarad in the last 100 years. He was a little bit older than Maran Zichron Berachah, but a contemporary. He was a tremendous Mekubal, and he was also a Dayan on the Bedina Gadol Birushalayim. His name was Agaon Rabbi Ovadia Hadaya. Yeah, he was a tremendous Syrian Mekubal and Posek. Shelot Utshuvot Yaskil Avdi. So he brings an Aitzah that was echoed by Gaon Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu de Rishon LeZion, and he says that, let's say, a person is in the middle, if you didn't say the first Yule Ratzon, then you're stuck. There's nothing you can say. We're talking about now, we have to take into consideration that you said at least the first Yule Ratzon, whether or not you began Elohai Netzor, Le'alacha, and this is the Alacha L'ma'aseh. If you wish to answer everything, you want to answer the Nakdishach, and Kadosh, Baruch, Himloch, Baruch Hashemo, Amenim, Hakol, the halacha is, if you are oker et raglav at that point, which means even though you didn't finish, you're not up to Oseh Shalom, you can move your feet, move, take one step back. And even if, let's say, you can't take one step back, for instance, give me a situation where you can't take one step back. Somebody praying right behind you. Over there, a lot of people transgress the halacha, Shulchan Aruch Meforash, Siman Kuf Bet, that if a person's betoch dalet amot, praying behind you, asur to take three steps back, or even one step. You can't walk into his dalet amot. So the halacha is over there. All you need to do is lera'ot ke'okiret raglav, which means what? Even if I can't physically take a step back, what can I do? Shuffle my feet as if I'd be taking a step back. That lehalacha is sufficient to sever your amida, which means even though from that point on you're allowed to continue with your tachanunim and you'll take your official three steps back at Ose Shalom, lehalacha, what will that gain you? You'll be able to answer everything karagil, everything as usual by doing that. Fashtes, yeah. Very b'di'avad. Most muskim disagree with that, and you just have to wait. Now, that being said, Rabotai, so back to our discussion, I'm just giving you guys. Yeah.
Is there a certain cutoff point where you feel like someone else's Shema Yisrael is too long? For example, you start and you finish 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes past, and they're still not done. Can you move back in some sort of way?
Let me tell you a story.
Because you can't stand like a statue.
Yes, you can.
Well, you can. But
you don't want to.
Right.
And you can answer everything because you said the second two U.S. songs.
Yeah, you can answer. Patience is a virtue. Let me explain something to you. There's a story. Now, again, it's not exactly the same halacha, but it's very similar. One time, a Gaon of Moshe Feinstein, Alav Shalom, he was a Rishiv in MTJ, in Tver Yishalayim. So his Gabbai, I heard this story from his, not Gabbai, but the driver, his personal driver, came to him one day after Shir in MTJ before Mincha, and he said, Rebbe, after Mincha, you have some sort of cardiologist appointment or something, a specialist appointment right after Mincha. He says, right after Mincha, please, Rishiv, if you're able to not talk to anybody, I have to take Rishiva straight to the car and we have to go to the doctor. He said, okay, sure, no problem, fine. And what happened was that Rav Moshe finished his tefillah, they finished tefillah Mincha, and the driver comes to get him, but then all of a sudden, he stops. Suddenly. And the driver realized that there was a bachur who was praying Amidah right by the door. And it was being ma'arich. And right by the door, apparently there was no other way to get out. He was right by the door and Rav Moshe stopped. Shelo ra'avor lifnei ha'mitpalel. So time's passing, time. And, you know, he's getting all antsy. Rav Moshe told him, he told the driver, take it easy, don't say anything. Don't bother this guy from his tefillah. Not to say that he was doing the right thing. Anyway, long story short, he was there for another 20 minutes. Rav Moshe missed his appointment as a result. So the driver asked Rav Moshe. He said, Rebbe, you know, this was a real sha'at adachak. Come, we should, you know, we had to go. Rav Moshe looked at him. He says, I don't understand what you're telling me. I can't walk through a brick wall. Chab? Yefe. Halacha creates a brick wall. Manasot. Huh? Manasot. Yeah. So now...
Some skinny
nuts to go through it. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so back to our discussion. But I'll take questions in a minute. I just want to get this out. Maran Zichron Baruch holds la halacha ul ma'aseh that nakdishach v'na'aritzach or nekadish, they're not really parts of the dvarim shel kiddusha, and you are not bound by the minhag makom. You can say your own nakdishach v'na'aritzach, or if it's on Shabbat, you can also say nakdishach, or if it's musaf, you can say keteri tenulecha. Even if they're saying something else, you can say your own. Now, I'm going to get to something else in a minute, but go ahead. Yeah. Yeah.
So, just for clarification, if let's say I finish my tefillah,
yeah,
and then the kahal is already, they're about to start nakdishach.
Yeah.
So I just
nekadesh.
I make it seem as if I should just make it seem as if I'm moving my feet like this, and then I can.
Well, you should preferably take a step back.
There's somebody behind me also.
Yeah, shuffle.
So I can't really go back to.
So shuffle.
Shuffle and then take 3 steps forward for another.
No. You just stand. You can't take 3 steps forward because you haven't taken your 3 steps back yet. Just don't move. Stay in place. Yeah, you don't have to take three steps forward. The only point of taking three steps forward is if you've already taken your three steps back, which you haven't done yet. Okay? Somebody wants to
move
your feet a little bit. Huh? Yeah, shuffle like you're on an elliptical. Yeah? Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
No person can be on you, but if you're in a small area between two rows,
yeah.
Is it better to take small steps?
Small steps. Smaller steps, yeah.
It's three steps forward, I think. Isn't it just three steps back and then... Isn't
for Kedusha. Oh, for Kedusha. Vaday. Yeah. Rabotai, listen carefully. Also, there are some minor differences between Poskei Sfarad and Poskei Ashkenaz, notably between Maran Zichron Baracha and the Igrot Moshe with regards to the parameters of Lotit Godedu with different Nuschaot. Rav Moshe is more, a little bit more conservative about what Lotit Godedu is, meaning he considers more things Lotit Godedu. For instance, he's against if the Tzibur is, let's say it's Ashkenaz, there's another difference between Nosach Ashkenaz and Nosach Sfarad, let's say Tachnun, right? Whereas Ashkenazim, they go down right away, they do Nefilat Apayim. Nosach Sfarad, they do, they don't do Ana, but they do Hashem Nubagadnu, they do Vidui before... before they go down. Rav Moshe says you have to go down with them if that's what you're doing. Now, Maran Zichron Baruch Hu says, once again, this is not a problem of Lotit Godedu v'chein halacha lema'aseh. You don't have to worry about it because, once again, these things are subject to varying minhagim, which everybody knows exist and everybody knows that they're valid minhagim, so you don't have to do that. Now, I do want to tell you, there's a very interesting baraita in Masechet. You know, there's, if you look at the Gemara, Masechet Avodah Zarah, Horayot, in that section, there's a bunch of Masechtot Ketanot. You ever saw those? Mm-hmm. Yeah? So Masechtot Ketanot are Baraitot. They're not really Mishnayot, but they're Baraitot. They didn't make it into the Mishnah. So there's two Masechtot of there. One's called Derech Eretz, Rabbah, and they don't have to run, they're invited to. Am I a scary person? I'm really not a scary person. I don't know. No, tell me the truth. Am I intimidating?
Those who don't know the Rav.
Huh? Bemet?
No.
It's like, it's very. That's why I take on my jacket, relaxed. That I learned from my rabbi. Tavo. No. Now. Afterwards, Bemet, I don't know who he is, but I want you to go over to him and explain to him that he wasn't being left at Chas V'Shalom. Tagid lo. Should know that he shouldn't feel bad. Tell him afterwards. You know him?
No,
I'm going to check the sign.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying that guy. Tell him afterwards. Chas V'Shalom, he shouldn't think that he was being laughed at. Person feels bad. Chas V'Shalom. That's soon. Now, anyway, Mikol Makom, Maran Zichron Baruch Hu says it's mutar. In ba'aya shel of Lotit Godedu. But what I was telling from Masechet Derech Eretz, it says, Le'olam lo yeh adam omed ben ha-yoshvim ve-yoshev ben ha-omdim. Derech Eretz dictates that you don't sit among the standing or stand among the sitting. It's just it's a mashal, but what it means to say is don't stick out like a sore thumb. Do not protrude. Try to blend in. There's a Gemara, Masechet Berachot Af Lamed Aleph. The Gemara says, "Le'olam tehe da'ato shel adam me'orevet im abriyot." Don't stand out. Think the way, meaning, try to go with the flow. Don't try to, you know, so when it comes to Avodat Hashem, if there's Nisyonot, whatever, yes, fight. But if you're with other Avodat Hashem, don't stick out. Go with the flow. Yeah, what's the Shaila?
So what happens in a place like this where we have 20, 30, 40 Sephardi guys and they have something like Baha, where there's quite literally like a 35, 40 minute Tachanun.
Okay.
So what do we do then? Do we sit? Do we stand?
Well, I thought you were going somewhere else. You just took a detour with your question. I'll come back to it. I thought you were going to ask me, well, one second. What do we do in a place like here? We have 30, 40 Sephardi guys on random Shacharit or Mincha where you have Tachanun. There's no real way to go about remaining standing and doing your Vidui without really, literally, standing out. So what do you do? Let me explain. And then I'm going to come back to your question. As follows. As long as you're not doing it in a way that's, you know that you're trying to be belligerent, or you're trying to stand out, or you're trying to make a mecha'a or a hafgana. You know what hafgana is? Mm-hmm. Like a protest. Whoa, take it easy. You know, if you can, just to yourself. You don't have to, you know, it doesn't have to be Tarzan. You know what I'm saying? Just lightly, very, you know, lightly to yourself. Usually I do it when I daven Ashkenazim, I go under my jacket. You know, very nonchalant, so nobody notices. And if I can, I stand to the side. Against the wall. I do it quickly. Now, besides the fact that you have to keep other things into, take other things into consideration, vayavod, you have to do with ta'amim, otherwise you skip it. I'm just talking about specifically about the ana, not talking about all the other anachot. If you can stand against the wall to the back, whatever, where it's a little bit, it's not as conspicuous, matov manayim, and even if not, even if you can't, you're standing by your seat, okay, so you take a few more seconds before sitting down with the rest of the am, ze beseder. It's not considered lotit godudu, it's okay la'alacha ul-ma'ase. Now, with regards to your question, Behab. I went to yeshivas too, and my yeshivas did Behab also. So again, there's nothing wrong with saying the tefillot of Behab. They're very beautiful tefillot. Behab is, well, really the Monday, Thursday, and Monday, well, they're really originally supposed to be fast days, but by most Ashkenazim, they don't. Some do the fasts, but some don't. They just say added slichot and tachanunim on those days to be mechaper for possible frivolity that was transgressed during Sukkot and during Pesach. Kol makom, you know who brings down Taniyot Behab? Maran HaShulchan Aruch, in Siman Tav Kuf Kaftet, all the way at the end of Hilchot Yom Tov. Maran says Meforash to do Taniyot Behab. So I don't know when it became such an Ashkenazi thing because the Shulchan brought it down. Anyway, but nothing wrong with saying those tefillot. And even if you don't want to say those tefillot, I would tell you, you know, for Sfaradim to just storm out of the Bet Midrash during the Behab and then come back, that's not beseder. That's taking a stand. That's le'olam lo yadam omed b'nei yoshem yoshem en omdim. You should not do that. That's called sticking out. You should either stand there or sit there learning your own thing, davening your own thing, saying your own tehillim, you know what I'm saying? Blend in. You know what I'm saying? That's the matzav that you're in. So don't stick out. When in Rome. Yeah, sometimes also, halel on Rosh Chodesh. By Ashkenazim, sometimes halel can take significantly longer because of all their singing and stuff like, okay, seder. So you finished your halel, okay, so take a sefer or take a tehillim or do something else. You don't have to leave. You have to. You have what I'm saying? Yeah, Yona, what are you saying?
In the case, if Sparta is doing Hatanun,
yeah.
Is at David, and they start Kaddish,
yeah.
The Kahan, you have to stand up?
So that's another thing. We're hitting on a lot of very interesting things. Minhag Ashkenazim, Kedat Rama, is to stand by all Kaddishim. Minhag Sfaradim, Kedat Ari HaKadosh, and Shara Kavanot, Ari HaKadosh says Meforash, specifically to sit during Kaddish, besides for one Kaddish, Kaddish shel Lel Shabbat, Arvit shel Lel Shabbat, Davka to stand, because that's when you're Mekabel, Tosefet Neshama, shel Lel Shabbat. So that's the only exception. But, again, even though there's no lotit godedu element of remaining seated by Kaddish when you're praying with Ashkenazim, but what element is there? The Derech Eretz element that says that what? Stand up with them. Just like if an Ashkenazi was praying with Sfaradim, even though his minhag is to stand, because he's with Ashkenazim, so you sit. You're supposed to do that, to blend in. So too, if you're in the middle of Ledavit, so stand up, either finish up, or, you know, if you're sitting in a place where it's not so apparent, okay, fine, but otherwise, stand up. There's no isur to say LeDavid standing. Nachon, if you're supposed to be saying it's sitting. You started sitting. They're up to Yeshem Rabbah. Stand up with them. Yeah.
Is there a difference in person sitting, you know, like right in front for his own size?
In terms of halacha, or in terms of optics.
Both, because they have
halacha, not really, but optics, which also is what really impacts the Derech Eretz element of it. Yeah. Not only that, it's not only about where you're standing, your position. You have to know also, I've been to Minyanim where Sfaradim come to pray. Ashkenaz Minyanim, for instance, I told you, Kesetara, right? It's Ashkenaz Shtibol. So Sfaradim come, just because of, you know, the sheer numbers, B'nai Nara, of Sfaradim in the neighborhood, yeah, doesn't necessarily mean, in any given Minyan in Kesetara, you can have a majority Sfaradim. Easy. But what? It doesn't change that the Minhag HaMakom, the Minhag HaMakom is they're Ashkenazim. It's Nosach Sfarad, but they're Ashkenazim. You can't take over. Don't conquer, merge. Many times, or when you're praying with Ashkenazim, Nosach Ashkenaz. Yeah, Manan Zechon Recha says you can say Nakdishach. Says it, Baruch Atah Hashem, Echayei HaMesim. Nakdishach, Mina Aritzach. You know, whoa, take it easy. Take it, you know what I'm saying? Don't. You have to. Part of halacha is knowing how not to be a jerk. You know, that's also a very important thing. Yeah, my Rashiva used to say, "Alav Shalom Shmuel Brumbem." He didn't speak a lot of English, but this he used to say in English for everybody to understand. He used to say, "The Shulchan Aruch is comprised of four chalakim," but he says the fifth one is the most important for everybody to know. He said, he used to say, what's the fifth Shulchan Aruch? He used to say in his broken English, don't be stupid. He used to say, Shulchan Aruch, halacha, halacha, don't be stupid. That's what he used to say, Mefurash, like that. Yeah, what are you saying?
So, in my yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, they had a specific minhag to do, like the Vilna Gaon, where no one said Nachisha except for
the Chazan. Yeah.
And I always wondered if I was supposed to say Nachisha and Eretz Yisrael to myself quietly.
You could.
During
sure.
Chazara.
Yeah. Why not?
Allowed to?
Yeah.
Because a bunch of the Rebbeim looked at me and they said, you don't have to say it. I said, I mean, according to my halacha, you always say it. So I don't know.
You say shkoyach and do your thing. That's it. No, say that. Bekitzer. Or eshkoyach. Yeah, you have to. Mikol makom. You have to know how to do it's an art. Yeah, being a Sephardi in an Ashkenazi yeshiva or Ashkenazi setting is not just about halachot. It's an art. You have to master the art. That's what I'm trying to. And the more you do it, the more you become. It really becomes second nature. I've done this, you know, a majority of my life. Now, you know, it's evening out because I'm getting older, but a majority of my life, at least until I got married and shortly thereafter also, you have to learn how to blend in. That's all. That's part of it. What do you want to ask? Yeah,
Nechavu. Let's say you're in the David,
mm-hmm.
It's Kaddish. Are you supposed to stop and answer, or
yes.
You can continue?
Yes. So that's not only by the David, by any tefillah. If you're in the middle of your own tefillah, and now Kaddish starts, you answer the Kaddish. The question is, if you're allowed to continue with your own tefillah, whether it's LeDavid or Pirketi, you know, whatever it is, that you're or Ashrei or whatever it is, you are allowed to continue, but you just have to make sure to answer when it comes to the time. Preferably, try to space out the things that you have to answer, the Aminim, either at ends of Psukim or at least in middles of Psukim where there's Atnachim. That's the best case scenario, so as not to put yourself in a situation where you have to answer Aminim smack in the middle of a phrase of a pasuk. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So if I finished the first paragraph of Elena, should I just wait? If I'm in the middle of the Kaddish? Instead of starting off in?
Yeah, you can. You can.
Wait.
Here's another thing. Another very, the Kut Yosef brings down the halacha. We know that if a person is, whether you are or are not participating in a minyan, and a tzibur is saying Alenu Shabeach, you're supposed to stand up and say Alenu Shabeach with them. Right, because otherwise, shelo yirae ke kofir. Everyone's standing up and bowing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're not participating. You're not ke kofir. The halacha is that even if you're not davening, all you have to say is the first paragraph. Yeah, until in all that's it. You don't have to say al kene kavinach. However, let's say you're in an Ashkenazi yeshiva, and after they finish Uval Tzion, they say kaddish titkabal, boom, alin shabeach. Whereas after our kaddish titkabal, you still have tefillah leDavid, shir shel yom. You have Kave, Pituma Ketoret, and then only then you have Alim Shabbach. Maran Zichron Bracha is quoted by the Alkut Yosef, says that you do not have to rise at that point and say Alim Shabbach, because everybody understands the fact that I'm not getting up right now is not because I'm trying to make a statement that I'm a kofir. Everybody understands that I want to follow, I want to finish. The tefillah has a certain siddur. You know, different parts of tefillah correspond to different olamot that you know. Correct? Yeah, there's different. There's Bri'ah, Yetzirah, Asiyah, Bri'ah, Yetzirah, Asiyah, and Atzilut. Different parts of the tefillah correspond to different olamot ha'inyonim. And by, you know, if you mess up the tefillah, that's why we spoke about once the importance of reading korbanot before the tefillah. Everything's got to be in order. Korbanot, Pesuket Zimra, Birkot Kriyat Shema, Kriyat Shema, Amidah, Tefillah Tachanun, Tefillah David. Everything's got to be lefi ha'seder. So everybody knows that I'm not jumping to Alinu, not because I want to look like a kofir, but specifically because I want to follow my order of the tefillah. So there it's mutar to continue on with your own tefillah and then say Alin Shabeach after. Now again, if there's kaddishim in the interim, bevadai you have to stop and answer the kaddishim. But the Alinu itself, you don't have to participate with the tzibur in that specific situation. Yeah.
Besides Amidah, is there any other tefillah where you would just keep standing in and not answer the kaddish?
So by Kaddish during Amidah, if you're in the middle of Amidah, you don't just keep praying. You stop and you listen to at least the first five Aminim. You listen, Tiyashem Rabbah, and then afterwards you can continue. You want to be Yotze through Shomea Keone. It's not just that you're ignoring it. You'll be Yotze, but with the mechanism of Shomea Keone, by...
Even if you're the Chazan, like, doesn't have your mind?
That's the famous Od Yosef Chai. That's a very... It's another thing that happens in yeshivas a lot. Not only, but... there's a famous Ben Ishai in a Sefer Od Yosef Chai. We're getting at all the Sephardiisms right now. So just to, no, because it's important, because these things happen literally every day, multiple times a day. So you got to know what to do. So I'm happy to ask. I can't point out every Sephardiism in an Ashkenazi setting under the sun. I just can't. They happen. You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad when you bring it up. If you're in a situation where you're in the middle of Amida, and the Shlech Tzibur gets to Kedusha, Kaddish, Birkat Kohanim. Well, Birkat Kohanim is put on the side for a second, but other things that you're supposed to stop in the middle in order not to answer, but at least to listen for Shomea Keoneh, the Ben Ishchai says that there are certain conditions that have to be met in order to warrant, because you're not supposed to be stopping randomly, even pausing and not saying anything in the middle of the Amidah. That's called, that's not Hefsek B'dibur, but you're not supposed to be Mafsik at all, but it's supposed to be fluid. You would stop when it's warranted to listen to things they have to be Yotzei Dechovah. But there are certain times, says the Ben Ishchai, that you wouldn't be Yotzei Dechovah. He says, La'alacha ul-ma'ase, in order to warrant pausing your Amidah to listen to the Shleach Tzibur's Kedusha or Kaddish, one of two conditions has to be met. Number one is that the Chazan is a Talmid Chacham. Because if he's a Talmid Chacham, Mistama, you can assume that he knows the halacha, that he has to have kavana to be motzi yedei chova, the tzibur that's listening to him.
Understand? What's the chova for the tzibur? To hear kaddish?
Yeah, and kedusha. The chazan knows that there are people now who might still be davening, and I have to be motzi otam by kedusha, by kaddish. That's number one. Number two, says the Ben Yishai, even if the chazan is not a talmid chacham, but if he's chazan kavua, which means he goes up all the time, you can assume that if a person's chazan kavua, he took it upon himself to learn the basic dinim of shliach tzibur. Yeah, if I would want to look for the halachot of shliach tzibur, which siman shulchan aruch would look for? Would I look for it?
Well, it's not necessarily the halachot of tzibur.
Right. Nun gimal, nun dalet, nun he. Anyway, because it's spread out in those three simanim. Rabotai, you gotta, when you learn Shulchan Aruch, anything you learn, there's a pasuk in the Torah, Lamedah et bnei Israel, simah befihem. Says the Gemara, Al tikre simah, ela simaneha, she'en haTorah niknet ela besimanim. At face value, that's a reference to the simanim of the Torah, the te'amim. That's true, because the Torah is acquired through its te'amim. But not only that, a person has to make simanim for everything you learn. Every single thing you learn, you have to associate simanim with it. How many times do you see in the Gemara, v'simanach, like this and like that? What do you think, it's a waste of words, chas v'shalom? The Tanaim v'amuraim made themselves all sorts of rimazim, simanim, huh? Acronyms, or mnemonics, all sorts of things to help them remember what they were learning. Because chazar is the ikar, rabotai, but also in order to help the chazara stick, you have to make simanim. You have to. So in my, I had it down once. One time somebody called me out on it, and I told him, I have, in most of Arba'at Chilkei Shulchan Aruch, I have a siman that helps me identify almost every siman in Shulchan Aruch. Almost everyone. An example? Easy examples, fun ones. Yeah, this is from Maran Zichron Baruch Hu. This is the famous, most famous one. Maran Zichron Baruch Hu used to say, where's Hilchot Dagim? Hilchot Dagim, where would I find that? So first of all, it has to do with Yisur Ve'etir. All of Yisur Ve'etir is in Yure De'ah. Where would I find Yilchot Dagim in Yure De'ah? Siman Pe'giman. Pe'giman is gefilte fish. That's how you remember. Anyway. Yeah. It's a joke, but it's also, it's whatever works for you. Find ways to retain your learning. Find,
I'll remember that one.
Yeah, you're going to remember? Yeah. Mekon makom. Find. Also, there's many, many different ways to do this. I spoke about it a little bit by the yard side of Maran Zichron Baruch Hu. The best way to retain your learning is by loving it. And Chazara. Chazara shows that you love it. Because you only revisit something that you love. Something that you don't love, you do once, it's a burden, and then you get rid of it. The only thing you revisit, like your kids. You revisit your kids every day, you deal with them all the time. Why? Because you love. What happened? Yeah.
This is a little bit of an adequate spacing between those.
The way
she
was like, you don't love them like your kids.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, there's I mean, there's a comma there.
Yeah, yeah.
And Nishon Nishon, like the Gemara says. Anyway. Yeah, it's fine. No, but the point is, you always revisit things that you love. And also, things that you love, you have processes of association for these things. So if you love your learning, find associations for your learning that will help you to retain it. It's a very, very big yisod. I can't stress it enough. Or sometimes, another thing that I do that helps. You know, this is for people without photographic memories, like myself. Yeah, I don't have a photographic memory. But what I do is, I try, when I learn a Daf Gemara, I also try to remember, I look at it, even though it's not a photographic memory by definition, it's not clinical, but I try to take a picture and remember the Tzura Tadaf. Yeah, many Dapim, I remember the Tzura. The Gemara spoke about this here, there, Rashi, Tesfis, you know, the other Mefarshim. You associate it with certain things, and it helps you to retain. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And then, even if you don't recall it verbatim, but if you have, even if it's a little foggy in your mind, but at least it'll help you to revisit it when you need it. It's a chiyuv. A person must retain his learning. Gemara in Masechet Kiddushin, Daf Lamed, the Gemara says that v'shinantam levanecha shiyu divrei Torah mechudadim beficha shim shalcha adam al tegamgem ve'emor lemayad. Yeah, you have to. There's a chiyuv to not only learn Torah but to know the Torah to an extent that it's so sharp in your mind that if a person asks you a question that you don't stutter, you know, don't hesitate. You have to pull the trigger on any question on the Torah in an instant. Now again, that's the chiyuv. How many people in their lifetimes realize or fulfill this chiyuv is a different story. But at least know the chiyuv is out there. It's a pasuk meforash b'Torah. V'shinantam milashon shanun. Shanun means sharp. It's not just learning the Torah as a, you know, like a topic or like a, you know, like a lecture, an intellectual pursuit. The Torah is not intellectual gymnastics. The Torah is kim chayenu v'ruch yamenu. The whole, our lives are based, the oxygen of life is the Torah Kedusha. So, coming back to what we were speaking about, it's important to, by the Shliach Tzibur, if he's not, let's say, tangents are good, only when you know how to return to the main thing from a tangent. If you go off and you don't come back, that's disastrous. We were talking about the Ben Ishchai's two tna'im, for stopping in the middle of your Amidah to listen to Kaddish Kedusha. Number one is, what do we say? Shliach Tzibur, Tamid Chacham. That what? You can assume that he has Kavana. Or if he's Chazan Kavua, because you can assume that he learned the Halachot. If it's neither nor, Ben Yishchai says, don't stop. It's a waste of time. Continue your Amidah. Don't listen. It's not worth it, because you're not gaining anything by doing it anyway, because the only reason you'd be Yotze is only through Shomea Ke'onen. If the guy's not having Kavana, Shomea Ke'onen doesn't work. Yeah.
So you're not allowed to wait? Like for me, I've taken the approach of
benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, if I start judging each person, then I'm going to say, oh, he's not a Tamid Chacham, he is.
Okay, you could do that, just not worth it. Again, we're not doing this to be judgmental. We're just doing this practically speaking. You know what I'm saying? Move on. We're not judging people. You know what I'm saying? We're not, who's to say what's a Tamid Chacham is a person who's Yodea Sefer, Lomed Halacha. You know what I'm saying? Tamid Chacham could be at any age. Tamid Chacham could be a person who has a Seder Kavua Ba'alacha, and he knows the Halachot of Shema Ke'oneh. Believe it or not, not every Shliach Tzibur that gets up there knows they have to have Kavana when you start Chazarat HaShatz and when you say Kaddish and Kedusha and all these things to be Motzi the Kahal. You know that. Not everybody does. Go ahead. So, yeah.
Even if the Shliach Tzibur is a Tamid Chacham, if I can't hear him clearly, should I just...
Don't stop. If his voice is low, that's another thing. Ben Ishchai also brings down an Od Yosef Chai. If the Shliach Tzibur doesn't project well and you can't hear him, don't stop. Because once again, he could be the Gdolador, but if you can't hear him, there's no Shomea Ke'oneh. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So, me as a Shliach Tzibur, generally people come into Davin because when they see a reading, they say, go.
Ashrecha.
So, they say, like, Bechavod, to start Yishem or whatever, Chazarat HaShatz, I have to keep in mind, I'm Yishmei Ke'oneh every single second of Chazarat HaShatz.
No. Have one Kavana at the beginning when you go up, any Kaddishim or Kedushot or anything that I need to be Motzi the Tzibur, I'm having Kavana to be Motzi anybody who needs it.
So that's
it.
By that,
one quick Kavana. Per Tfila.
You can make one stipulation at the beginning of the year of the whole
year.
No.
Baba Jun, doesn't work like me. Nice try. Anyway, Bikitsur, so.
But doesn't the Kahal have to have you in mind also?
Yes.
I feel like no one ever has in mind.
But you got to do your thing. If you're Shliach Tzibur, Yeah, it's a two-way street, but you got to do yours and they got to do theirs. Yeah, I just want to end off another very interesting thing that the Poskim bring down as follows. You know, there are many, many other, we spoke about this in passing last time. You have to know part of the Derech Eretz element of, you know, like I told you, the art of blending in, what we'll call the art of chameleonism. Being a chameleon, knowing how to blend into your surroundings. Many times, it's not only with tefillot, and it's not only with tefillin. Sometimes it's also with food. Sometimes it's with other halachot. There's many different things. And the beauty of Am Yisrael is that there's so many different shitot and minhagim that are and mesorot that are all legitimate because they're all from Makom Kadosh. Unfortunately, where did machlokot and differences in minhagim come from? It's all galut. Right, when we had the Beit HaMikdash and there was a Sanhedrin, there was no different halacha. There was one halacha that was paskened by the Sanhedrin b'nishkat ha-gazit, and there was one halacha and one minhag in all of Am Yisrael. We pray for that day to return every day. Hashiv ha-shoftein v'rishona v'yaseg v'tchila. When Mashiach comes back, that's it. You know, Mashiach, along with the Sanhedrin, they are going to determine what the halachot and what the minhagim are going to be for Am Yisrael, one way or the other. Yeah, and every keilah has got to be okay with that because he's Melech HaMashiach, and they're the Sanhedrin. But until that happens, you know, Machloket Shei L'Shem Shamayim Sofa Leitkayem. It's Machloket Shei L'Shem Shamayim, and it's all legitimate. Like the Gemara says, Kulam Meru'ay Echad Nitanu. All of these minhagim and shitot, they all come from one shepherd. All come from Moshe Rabbeinu Ra'aya Mehimna. Now, it happens, sometimes you have to be, you know, vigilant, and you have to kind of be observant that when these things come up, sometimes you are invited to an Ashkenazi meal, household, whatever it is, for Shabbat, Yom Tov, Asimcha, whatever it is, yeah? And let's say it's a Seudat Mitzvah, let's say it's Seudat Shabbat where you need to have Hamotzi. I told you, yeah, Pita, remember? Many times they'll serve Egg Challah, you have to come prepared, you have to assume, not obviously benefit of the doubt, but come prepared because unless you want to start pounding four kabitzim of Egg Challah like I did a bunch of times, it's not geschmack. It's not, you know, it's hard, you know.
It does taste good though.
What?
It does, I think the egg column.
Yeah, so does birthday cake, you know what I'm saying? but hamotzi it's not, ani agid lecha. There's no isur to eat egg challah. Egg challah, you know, go right ahead, but just understand that ledat manan, it's birkato b'roim nevzanot. So you have to, or, now you have to also know halachot. The derech eretz also requires halachot, you know that. There's halachot of how not to impose. Just because their egg challah is not hamotzi for you doesn't mean you can impose on them, okay, buy me this, but whoa, take it. Don't tell anybody to buy you anything. Be, you know, go with the flow. Sometimes they'll know these things. I know right up the block, Chafetz Chaim, so the reshiva, Rav Grumblat Shlita, so he, one of the reshiva, he has guys over a lot for Seudot Shabbat, and you know, Chafetz Chaim also has a formidable Sephardi population in the student body. So his Rebbetzin Bidavka, when they invite Sephardim over, she said, I made specifically egg challah for the Sephardim, or for everybody, because she knows, she realizes that Sephardim have an issue with making Birkat HaMotzi on egg challah. So sometimes they'll take into consideration. That Bezat Hashem we'll talk about when we get into the, I think the next discussion we should have, or the next series that we should start, or at least one of the next, you guys should tell, you know, decide among yourselves and tell Yaakov what, you know, to tell me what to talk about, but there's still a lot of things that we have to discuss, but we'll have a series dedicated to Yashan, and these things do and will, they will continue to come up, and you must know how to navigate la'alacha, but towing the line between halacha and derech eretz, not imposing on the Baal HaBayit, not imposing on your friends, not imposing even on your parents. Sometimes, you know, even parents sometimes don't take kindly to impositions. Sometimes the relationship is such that you have an open dialogue and they would love to do it, but sometimes not. You have to know the art of blending in. That's, I have no other word for saying it. Yeah.
One final question. When isn't that going against their eretz? Because if you're gonna bring, let's say theoretically, your own bread, it's kind of like offensive to the host. It could be taken like, oh, like
no, eat their bread. eat their bread.
But bring your own also, like...
Yeah, bring your own.
I've never experienced
this.
How would
you eat
it?
You
everyone I've been at hasn't...
You actually been. Bring your own bread and you're like...
I pay attention to their facial because no one's cared so far.
No, and if they ask, you say there's no... Here, the challah is delicious. It's what I love it. But just explains it's a halachic thing for Sfaradim according to Shulchan Aruch. You know, this doesn't fit the requirements of a matzis. I just brought my own bread to get the shear, but this bread is delicious. There's no infringement on derech eretz if you explain it that way. And on the contrary, it becomes a learning experience. Lama lo? Yeah.
All of the halachot that we said tonight, we're going to see this as like a separate reference.
Which ones?
But we have to make a shift.
No, well, it's in the works, Mizrat Hashem, but you know, my it's a plethora of many Svarim.
Like, you mean like topics like if Svarim in Ashki situations, especially with the Tila, like is there like a specific area to look at?
There are books, actually English books, some of them that I can recommend about you know, differences between Sephardi and Ashkenazi minhagim and how to navigate. One of them was actually written by a good friend of mine, Mechavrusa from Mechavedat. His name is Rav Yonasan Nexon from Toronto. It's called Mizrach Mima'arav. It's a great book in English, has Mekorot. Another Sefer was written by Rav Chaim Jachter from Tinek. Actually gave a Haskamah to that Sefer. I think it's called Bridging Traditions. Also very nice Mekorot and stuff. It gives you an overview of the different minhagim and amisai. It's a beautiful thing. And that's what makes amisai so special. Rabbeisai, we're going to leave it here tonight, and we'll continue tomorrow afternoon. Baruch Adonai la'olam amin v'amin. Rabbi Chanan ben HaKashya Omer, Atzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakot Yisrael,